Welcome to the Founders Odyssey podcast. The journey of a founder is unlike any other. The chips are seemingly stacked against you as an entrepreneur, but the burning desire to revolutionize the world and leave a lasting impact is stronger now than ever with many founders. Our podcast looks to inspire the next generation of entrepreneurs to pursue their next great idea, educate them on how to make this impossibility a reality, and create a supportive group of entrepreneurs who are there for their fellow founders. Our podcast features only the highest performing entrepreneurs who have bootstrapped, raised funds, built companies, sold companies, and have experienced life-altering challenges and some significant triumphs. Join us on this journey with the Founders Odyssey podcast and listen in on this upcoming episode. Welcome to the Founders Odyssey podcast, where we educate, inspire, and motivate you as entrepreneurs to increase your life. Our special guest today is one of the most resilient people I know. He is the ultimate testament of using adversity to fuel their success while helping others as well. From living in a 400 square foot, one bedroom apartment to speaking to and impacting the lives of thousands of men through his company called the Billion Dollar Brotherhood, Nicholas Verlet is the definition of an entrepreneur. His tenacious, no-quit attitude to relentlessly serve others is respected by so many, which is why we've had him on the podcast today. Nick, thank you for joining us.
Thank you, man. I really appreciate you for putting this entire thing together. I love the thought of resiliency, and partially because one of the things that I struggled with, which I'm sure we'll get into, was even just my personal confidence. I was 60 pounds heavier than I am now. And I didn't have a podcast at the time. This was like 2010. I didn't have a podcast. I didn't have a YouTube channel that I knew of. I didn't have people banging on my social media accounts every single day with like 21-day kickstart and eat these things and eat these foods to burn body fat. And there was nothing out there that really showed me a path or gave me an example of someone who had the same problem as me that had overcome it. So I appreciate you for putting this whole thing together. And my goal is that people would have a transforming moment that changes their life forever, that sets them on the right path. And they see someone who is going through similar things, but has just chosen to walk through them anyway. So thank you for creating a space to do that.
I appreciate that. It's really understanding, you know, who you're talking to and being empathetic as to what they've gone through in their life. And we believe that's important, certainly as entrepreneurs. You know, some people have a high and mighty attitude, which it doesn't really get you that far. And it may for a little while, but then all of a sudden you'll be humbled. As you know, in business, you can be. So let's talk. The first question I love to ask, and it's a different answer from everybody, is what is an entrepreneur to you and what does it mean?
So I kind of go back to the original definition, which is a person who owns a business or businesses that takes on greater than normal financial risk in order to do so. Yeah, I think that that's also something that would be like a business owner. A business owner does that. And a business owner to me is someone who just runs and operates a business and owns a majority stake of that business, right? So like that would be a business owner. Whereas I think an entrepreneur is someone that looks at the business as something that's like, they're trying to innovate. It's something that they're trying to live their passion through. They have a vision through it. They have a purpose to it. And they're consistently chasing that purpose in their life. And that purpose is exercised through the businesses that they create. So that's probably the difference that I would look at, is that when I look at a business owner, sure, they operate a business. I've met many of them, yet a lot of them don't want to grow personally. And they don't really care. They're not living their vision through the business that they have. They just have another job that they've created through a business. Whereas an entrepreneur is living their vision through the businesses that they create, and they're personally willing to go through whatever it takes to grow themselves. And one of the ways they do that is through the business.
Yeah, I've seen that a lot. And you know, people aren't following their visions and their passions as well, many times within business. And they'll just go above and beyond to do whatever it takes in order to achieve whatever they think of success, right? And I know you have a very clear definition of success. Can you share what that is to our audience?
Yeah, like you had talked about that, I think is really good, is the clarity of what success is. Because if not, I always talk about, like, when I created the Brotherhood, one of the big things I realized, that there's a quote out there that says that for attention, men die for it, babies cry for it. talks about people that go into military and like they want the recognition. And so they literally die for this motivation of being remembered. And the other side is like, you know, I have a 2.5-year-old, like for attention, babies will cry if they're not getting attention. And so I kind of took this concept and I thought, well, if these guys are like growing up and they're not really phasing out of that, well, then if they're around gangs, people that steal, kill, destroy, et cetera, the way that they're going to get attention and recognition is through doing those things. And that's how they're going to get accepted into the group. Now, if I shift where they get attention. So let's say another quote out there is called compensation drives behavior. So if you pay people or give them something for doing a certain behavior, it'll more likely get them to do that behavior than if you don't reward it. So if you reward stealing, killing, destroying, then people are going to be more likely to do it. Now, if there's a negative side effect of that, oh, we don't believe in that. That's not what we do here. But what we do is we give, we make money, so we give back. We do it in an ethical way. Even if someone has a bad motivation of just getting recognition, now all of a sudden they'll be more motivated to do those things because of they just want the recognition. But at least they're doing something positive. So I feel like that's step number one, is recognizing like those are all still presupposed ideas on someone of what success looks like. So one day I called my mentor and I said, hey, I got it. I want to be Tony Stark. Like I want a place in Malibu overlooking the water with all the cars in the world, tinkering on my stuff, rich, famous, etc. And he looked at me and he said, Nicholas, when are you going to actually start having your own goals instead of trying to live everyone else's life? And that's what really got me to step back. And I was like, what do I really actually want out of my own life? And a lot of that was discovered. The basis point of it is by looking at, just like you would in a business, what is absolutely required of me to be successful as a person. So in a business, you may look at it as, what do we absolutely need? Like whether I'm on TikTok or not, like probably isn't going to change my life. It could help, but it's not going to be detrimental if I'm not on TikTok. But it will be detrimental if I never file my taxes or do have a finance department, if I don't have an entity, if I don't sell things, if I don't have any way to reach people and market. Those are all things that are absolutely required. Maybe some of them would be looked at as like the 5 core functions of a business, which is lead generation, lead nurture, sales, deliverable, retention, resell, upsell. These are the ways that you make money in a company. If you do not have one of those, it will be broken. So I looked at that in my own life and I'm like, all right, well, as a man, and really for anyone, what is most important and what is required? And I was like, well, in the health arena, no one's going to eat, sleep, drink, breathe, work out for me. They could tell me what to do, how much to do it. They could even deliver me the food or give it to me, but no one's going to stop me from eating Reese's in the middle of the night, or no one's going to be able to make me work out a certain way. Right. So I was like, I should probably get good at that. But think about how many guys like get in this mind of outsourcing their life where they look at it like, oh yeah, Nathan, you're so fit, man. You should like one day, like tell me what to do, man. If you just told me what to do, I'd totally do it. Like that's your thing. And it's like, well, no, it can't be just Nathan's thing. Nathan may need to know more because he's educating the people, that part of it. But no matter what, no one's going to be able to do it for you. No one can sleep for you. No one can move for you. So probably should be good at it. It's out of our relationships with our family, our spouse, our kids, our friendships, our network. It was also another one. Wow, like no one's going to do that for you. You can learn tips. You can learn from the best. You can have coaches. You can have accountability, but no one's actually going to sit there and connect with your wife for you. So we should probably get good at it. And so that was like my priority tier was those two things. And then it was like inside of my world, business. This was my area of vision. This is where I was going to not only create money, but I was going to steward money. I was going to grow money, grow influence, and steward things, right? Like I steward my house, right? Do I own my house in the world? Yes. But to me, I look at it like I'm not the owner of everything that I have. I steward the things that I have. And so inside of that place, that's where I really started prioritizing and realizing that success to me was first not sacrificing those tiers just for a financial benefit, and yet also not exercising the financial benefit by just being healthy and being a good father and husband, because that also isn't accomplishing. So for me, it's really getting clear on what does success look like for you? And how can we, again, tie it back to your personal growth, right? I have this huge thing that I talked about at my last event that you were at, was that it so often we can talk about it, teach people, and we don't do it. You see it with fitness people, you see it with relationship people, you see it with business people, and they end up teaching so much and helping so many other people that it actually makes their whole life fall apart. rather than just leading by example and the things that we believe in, allowing that overflow to actually reach and teach people. So success very much so is defined by yourself, and your brain doesn't know the difference either. So if you can define success in your mind, create a plan to get there, focus on the action items, and put the simplest ones first, your brain doesn't know the difference between drinking a gallon of water and making $1 billion. It's whatever you place importance on that it gets its satisfaction from. So this is why some people can water their yard and feel like they're worth $1 billion, and a billionaire can be upset because they're underperforming. And it's like, well, ignorance is bliss in some ways. Yet if I can be less focused on outcomes, so, oh, I need to lose weight. Great. You need that so that you can talk to someone like Nathan or his wife and be like, hey, how do I do this? They put a plan in place, and then you stop worrying about losing weight and you just worry about just doing your daily action items. And then 2 weeks later, you can look at what your progress has been, and you're going to feel great every single day because you feel like you're accomplishing what you're meant to do and you can control it, which is, like, I think a huge piece of success is what you're trying to accomplish, the action items controllable so that you don't go mentally freaking insane trying to accomplish something that only is going to happen years in the future and it'll only matter for a second. I've accomplished many things in my life, and literally the lifespan, right, if you think about food, it's like the banana in the pantry. Like, that thing is going to be old and spoiled very, very quickly. And so if you're waiting very, very long for this result, I'm going to tell you, you're going to get it. And all of a sudden, it's going to be like a few days later, you're not going to be able to even feel the feelings of it anymore. And it's going to be super detrimental. Rather than focusing on, man, like, did I hit my water today? Like, I want to be healthy. I want to drink water. It's like, great. You can track that. You can control that. You can measure it.
So you've taken what you obviously have gone through. You've internalized it. Of course, you had to make it your own. I think that was one thing I got out of that is make it your own. And everyone out there, if you've got a goal, you've got to actually internalize that. Then you've got to find your motivators. What actually motivates you? You know, why do you do what you do? That's one of the biggest things we know. And then let's talk about being uncomfortable, Nicholas. I know that's something that you have been in your life in many scenarios, not even when you're quote unquote successful in the eyes of those that are around you. What does being uncomfortable mean to you? And how do you get to that point where you are faced with that decision, right? It's like a Y in the road. Which way do you choose? Do you choose easy or do you choose hard because you know the reward is bigger?
Yeah, I think first defining it. So there's hard, like, I grew up in a home where I was afraid of my father for a lot of my time growing up as a kid. Is that uncomfortable? Yes. Is it healthy? No. Can I switch everything to a positive? Yes. Being in an abusive relationship, is that uncomfortable? Yes. Is it good? No. Can you use it for good in the future? Absolutely. You could turn it all together for good. Even just the story of how it can help other people. So first, defining uncomfortable circumstances so people don't relate them to an abusive, crappy situation. Like, is it uncomfortable to eat super hot Thai food every single night and you blow up the toilet the next day? That's super uncomfortable, but that's not the uncomfortable that we're talking about. We're talking about what's, like, the delayed gratification. What's the uncomfortable thing that feels negative in the moment yet gives you so much benefit afterwards? So a lot of times I look at it like this. We have desires or things that we want to do, and the delayed gratification, the uncomfortable thing that you look at the fruit afterwards. So when you look at going to the gym, for instance, typically, unless someone had just had a new spark of motivation, or they have really clear goals, or they're just a freak for a certain period of time, there's going to be periods in everyone's life where going to the gym in the moment at certain times will not feel amazing, right? It doesn't sound like a good idea. Yet if you ask 9 out of 10 or 99 out of 100 of them after they go to the gym, saying they didn't, as long as they didn't get injured or something negative happened, they go to the gym and they work out, or they move, or they go on a walk, a hike, a mountain bike, whatever. Afterwards, most of them are going to say, I can't believe that I almost didn't do that. That felt so good. And the fruits of that is usually positive. Now let's think about the opposite side of something that would be considered not uncomfortable, or something that'd be comfortable. You're sitting at home at night and you're like, oh, you know, it'd be so great. Ice cream. Like, this sounds amazing right now. I couldn't imagine my life without it. And you typically 9 out of 10 or 99 out of 100 people would eat ice cream. And let's, saying if they didn't earn it or they didn't plan it, et cetera, they randomly decided I'm going to eat a bunch of ice cream. Typically afterwards, the fruits of that is one, people probably don't get in better shape doing that. Obviously there's some thoughts around that, but take it with a grain of salt. Secondly, they usually don't feel as good. Like, oh man, I really wish that I didn't do that. So I had an impulse to do something that was easy and sounded really good in the moment. And it made me feel bad later. And so usually I judge those and say, all right, what are the things that I'm doing that feel really negative in the moment? Cold showers, ice baths, sales call, video on Facebook Live, creating content for my company, reaching out to people asking for help, whatever that thing is, saying sorry to your wife, communicating, et cetera. It feels negative in the moment, but man, it feels so great after I do it. Reading a book, I got one of my books that I recommend in front of me right here, going through it, Persuasion, reading a book, like, oh, I really don't feel like doing that. Sit down and read 10 pages. I feel enlightened. I feel light. I feel like I made progress. And I'm like, yes, this is something that's very uncomfortable. I want to do. But again, I think inside of our lives, there's a lot of things that are really small and minor every day that we go through that could be very uncomfortable. They can really stretch us and make us better, make us feel better in the future, fruit in our lives better. You're going to be fitter. You're going to be richer. You're going to be in happier relationships. And there's also ones right away that we do that are, that make us feel negative. So one, define uncomfortableness, make sure it's not abuse uncomfortable. It's stretching and positively impact uncomfortable, like an ice bath, like a sauna, like a workout, like a sales call, et cetera. And then what do we do in the face of these oppositions? Like, I've had so many of these random oppositions. I mean, think about, I got married in 2018, my wife and I, we failed in our first company, got kicked out of a townhome, lived in a 400 square foot apartment with no AC. It was over 100 degrees every single day and had to try to rebuild out of that place. I'm cleaning carpets, my main source of income. I literally before that was selling like $300,000 a year right before this, lost it all to carpet cleaning for $20K a year. So losing like all of my identity, all of my, I thought I was retired, dude. I was like, I'm literally like, these are accounts. Like, I'm going to be fine forever. I used to tell people, I was like, yeah, like I retired at 20, 21. Like, I'm done. Like, as long as this keeps going, like, I'm good. And everything gets ripped away. And I have to not be able to provide for my wife for $35, $37 a week each food budget and $25 split. So $12.50 a week eating out budget. So that was either pints of ice cream or this pizza place that had $5 off a pizza and we get two pizzas every single week. And so we did that forever. And like, that was a lot of pressure going to the grocery store, having to charge everything on a credit card because I was using my debit and actual money to pay rent. And I couldn't afford to do both, pay for gas on credit, pay for my car with debit. So it was like this mixture and it was very, very difficult. And that didn't leave like with business. Cause that's, here's the thing is like, they say new levels, new devils, or like bigger, more money, more problems, et cetera. And that is true. More fame, more problems, more influence, more problems, more responsibility, more problems. Yet the person in the situation has changed. The same is working out. It's like, go to the gym for the first time. Well, guess what? You're not going to be sore like before you go to the gym, right? Because you didn't work out anything. And you're only going to be able to lift so heavy. And someone else is going to be able to lift far more and have way more pressure and way more resistance than you if you've never done it before. But your 10 pounds will feel like they're 50 pounds. They're cool at curling 50 pounds and you're curling 10 and it's the same amount of energy because they now can lift 50 and it feels like the same as you lifting 10. Or, you know, for me, I'll squat 225 and some dude will be squatting 405 and it'll look like we're doing the same exact thing. But because of the resiliency that he's built up, to him, it's the same exact feeling, though it's so much more weight. And this is what I found is that anyone at a greater revenue place than you. So if you're at $10 million a year and someone's at $100 million a year or go 1 million to 10 million, typically the person at 10 million compared to the person at 1 million has 10 times bigger problems, 10 times more problems, with just a far greater capacity to be able to withstand these problems because their things that they've gone through and the pressures that they face have now built this resiliency in them where that problem is no longer harder. The first time you get sued, that's very difficult. And then afterwards you learn like what to do and what it's like. And now the next time you do it, it's not as difficult because you've now built this resiliency to it. Man, I remember being $120,000 in debt at like a 25 years old. And I run a live event of mine and all the power goes out. And it was the only time that the only way we can recuperate that money is if people joined our programs. So like I fork out all this money to get people there to be able to teach them, show them the way and be like, hey, for the people that are really interested in this, buy it. And all our power goes out and we get one sign up that was just from a guy that was there the previous year. And he was like, I'm really impressed by your progress. And I'm so sorry you had to go through that. So he paid. And so I'm like, basically at this point, like $104,000 in debt on the event. Plus I've used like months to do it, right? To work on it for free and make no money. So there's also all that. And I go back to my hotel room that night and it's like, at the moment I'm like, wow, this feels like I'm going to die. Now that even talking about it, it's not even that big of a deal. It's so weird. But at the time it felt like I was going to die. I was like, I'd rather literally puke, poop, roll in it and get hit by a bus than what I feel right now. And so I had two decisions to make. And Tony Robbins always talks about that. It's in the moment of decision that your destiny is shaped. And this is so true because if you think about it, what I could have done is I could have thought about all the ways I could complain. So I could have gone to the hotel, complained about the power, how it screwed everything up, get all my money back from them, try to recuperate every bit of loss, complain my way through it, try to get mad at them and not focus on the people in the room and the event that I was doing. And what's crazy is I actually don't even think we told them. I don't even know if we actually complained or said anything. And if we did, like I wasn't even a part of it. And I definitely didn't get anything back because of it. And what ended up happening is I decided that next morning that I was going to wake up and figure out how. Like, it's not a no. It's always to me, it's like, who can help me or how am I going to do this? Like, there is no no's or impossibilities. And so I went out there and instead of complaining, I shared the stories of the people that we had worked with. And I got 50 applications and we did close to $600,000 in revenue from that event. When we had done 15,000 the first day and over the 7 days after the event, because we literally had no time at the end, we had all these people that were like so impacted. But because I finally just went out there and said, hey, I don't have the slides. I don't have all this stuff. But if you want to be a part of this in a deeper level, fill out an application, work with us. I was able to, instead of complain my way 50K back from the hotel, I was able to generate more revenue and also prove to myself that it's not about the opposition. It's about what am I going to do in the face of opposition? Because no matter what, one thing that's guaranteed if you want to grow is you're going to do new things every single day, every week, every month that you've never done before because you're growing. So if it's a weight that you're lifting, if you never squatted that much, lifted that much, you're going to have to do it. Something new that you've never done before. You're going to have to run faster than you've ever ran before if you want to grow. The business, you're going to do things you've never done before consistently all the time. And it's always going to feel uncomfortable because you've never done it. So it's totally fine. And in the face of all those oppositions and things not going your way, what is the decision that you're going to make? Are you going to fold and complain your way into getting stuff back out of it? Or are you going to allow it to shape you and ascend you to a new level where now you're less afraid of all those types of situations? Because even when I run an event now, I go, well, I'm better than I've ever been before. I've crafted my message more. I'm more equipped. I know more. I'm more successful than I've ever been before. And I was able to be successful even when all my power went out. So what am I afraid of going forward, right? I didn't cripple and go, well, if my power ever goes out again, I'm so scared because I'm going to have to complain again. That's not very empowering, right?
Yeah. One thing I got out of what you said there and I've seen and it's worked for a lot of people is really understanding and patrolling the words and thoughts that you have in your life. And I know that through personal experience, and you know this as well, but what you think is then becomes an action. So talk to me a little bit about the words and how you didn't let your limiting belief cripple you to a point where you didn't want to live, right? So share with us how you rose out of that and how others out there can use words and thoughts to positively propel them forward.
Yeah. So I put this into three different categories that I call ingest, digest, express. So first is the things that we're consistently filling ourselves with all the time. It's really difficult to be like, I'm going to have this positive mindset, but I'm going to fill myself with all these negative influences all the time. So what are we ingesting? Not just actual food, though that could be a great indicator. Do you have value for yourself? Are you buying yourself high quality food? Or are you denying yourself of that? That may be a personal, that'd be in the express side, because you're expressing buying something because of a belief that you have because of external things that are feeding into you. So I first am looking at, what am I consistently have around me? So prior to that event, am I growing? Do I have positive things around me? Am I thinking positively? Am I consistently thinking of faith? Am I picking the right actions? This can help with mentors, people that you're around. This is why I run masterminds inside of the brotherhood. Why I do mentorship, et cetera. Why I invest in mentorship. And then also, do they align with the action? So I want all three of those things to align. The things that I'm being influenced by, the people I'm around, the things that I'm reading, the things that I'm watching, are they congruent with the thoughts that I'm thinking and the thoughts that I want to think? And are the actions that I'm actually taking congruent with all three of those? And if I could have all three of those together, I have a really strong frame of ingest, digest, express, and I want them all to be the same. Now, inside of an environment like that, that's like a high performance environment. This would be like if the Olympics are going on, or if there's X Games or a sporting event or NBA finals or whatever. There's certain times where it's very important to make sure that your environment is built to help you succeed. So I look at this as like, there's normal days, which is like probably 300 days of my life per year. And I'm consistently making sure that my environment is conducive to growth, but also I'm okay with correction. I'm okay with certain things happening or certain speech, because it's just a normal day. When I'm inside of an event like that, or I'm at a time where it's time to high perform, like in business, like again, like NBA finals, Olympics, et cetera, we're really big. So I have a lot of things that people that have worked with me at our events, that I once had an event at my house as a virtual event. And one of the video guys was like stressing about a client that they were working with outside of my event. And I let them know, if you want to even look at that email, you can leave and you cannot be in this event, because I don't need negativity, false belief, or anyone outside of the alignment of our vision here that works against what we're trying to do. So like, I don't allow negative talk, negative thoughts, negative work, negative anything. And if anyone wants to work off on anything negative outside of our event, they got to leave. But here is a place where we're meant to serve people and we're meant to achieve great things. And I can't do that without a conducive environment. So I'm very strict on the environment of people and workers that we have around us, especially when it's in an event style setting, because that's like my NBA finals. I may be a little bit more lenient on a normal day, but a lot of times if I'm filming, I'm doing podcasts, if someone were to come into me and share negative stuff, I'd be like, hey, after the podcast, share that, never do that again, because it's time for me to show up powerfully for other people out there. And the last thing I need is that right now. So I make sure to shape my environment that way. I make sure, because of that, I hold myself to that standard. The number one way to do that is through your identity. Like, the way that I shape my life is through what is my identity and who am I? Because who I am is going to shape what I do. And so if my identity is someone that's consistently a problem solver that can figure anything out and that will always be successful, how does that type of person act? For my guys, that would be the elite level mindset. All my guys in my mastermind are the inside of elite. So they look at themselves as elite level business owners, elite level entrepreneurs. So they ask themselves, how would that type of person show up in these scenarios? And that in itself, having that identity that they've put on, they've invested in, and now they walk out inside of a community, that for them shapes how they look at every situation. So they're not afraid of money. They're not afraid of making it, losing it, needing to invest it. They're not afraid of opposition, because that's not what we're afraid of. They're not negative, because that's just not who we are. They're providers and protectors of their family, because it's just what we do. And so it's a lot easier, rather than making decisions or trying to take every thought captive, I try to focus on what is my identity and how can I act out of that identity and hold myself to that standard. Much like the people that study false currencies. If you study false currencies, you would think that people would study like, what are the common themes of people that are trying to make fake money? But really all they have them do is study real currency, because if you know it well enough, you'll be able to spot a fake at any time. So if you know your identity well enough and what identity that you're looking to uphold, it's very easy to spot when your thoughts don't align with that identity, rather than trying to look at, is this a negative thought or positive thought? Like, I hear the people say this all the time. I'll be like, hey, that's really negative. I really don't want to go down that. And they'll go, what do you mean? Like, I don't feel like that's negative. Because they're just trying to look at every single situation, rather than being like, I know what positivity looks like so well that I'm easily able to spot negative. I'm not focusing on the negative, trying to spot it. I'm focused on the positive, so everything else becomes very, very easy to spot.
Let's talk about culture and environment. And that's what you, in essence, are alluding to, and making sure that you have a culture, you have people around you that really are aligned to your mission, goals, and purpose, right? So a lot of people out there that are listening, they have businesses, they run businesses, they're quite successful, or they're just getting started, right? But in every sense of the word, you want to create teams around you that are aligned with that mission and purpose. So share with us a little bit about how you've created the culture that you've created and some of the non-negotiables that you're developing.
Yeah. So one is recognizing that people have different values to bring. I've had people that have told me before, oh yeah, the reason I haven't joined masterminds because my top line revenue is more than like anyone in a mastermind. Like, well, that totally makes sense if you're just looking at top line revenue, but there's other things like personal development wise, energy of belief and support. There's a lot of other currencies out there that people have that they can give away that's more than just top line revenue advice based on the employee count that you have. So that's one. The biggest thing that I've looked at is right now, if anyone audits themselves, you're going to be plus or minus 10% of your current friend group in your fitness, your finances, and inside of your relationship, whether you like it or not. If you recently changed your friend group, great. Well, that may not be true yet. You have to adapt to it. So when I was looking at people that made 10 grand a month, I was making like $2,000 to $3,000 a month. Like that was like where I was stuck at. And then I started looking at people that made $10,000 a day, and our company started making $2,000 to $3,000 a day on average. So I was like, this is interesting. Like I'm just as crappy as I was percentage wise before, but the people that I'm surrounding myself with, the belief that they have, same thing happened in golf. I did it with sports. Like you find golfers that literally play golf for a long time. They get down to shooting in the 80s. That becomes their normal and they never improve. Their crappy swing, their crappy mindset, crappy belief. They're just happy shooting in the 80s because that's average. And they play golf with a bunch of average golfers. I was shooting like 130. And I started golfing with pro golfer every single day for 15 months. And I started shooting in the low 80s, high 70s, even sometimes below par on some nine holes, like 9 out of 18 holes. And I'm like, wow, like I have proved so much more than these guys because the people I'm golfing with, their expectation is to shoot below par. So by being around them, I'm expecting to do what they do because I'm around them all the time. I see what's possible and I'm picking up their mindset, their movement, their advice. There are external advice on things that I could do to improve. And I'm consistently chasing that because I'm not just adapting to my environment. And so if I'm always going to be shifting, I'm always looking at how can I place myself in those new environments that can be conducive to my group, to my growth. So whether it's through an extracurricular activity, a sport, fitness, et cetera, I want to be around people that are contributing to that mindset, contributing to that belief, contributing to that revenue growth, contributing to the fitness growth, contributing to the surfing. Like today, I'm going to surf for 2 hours and I'm going to surf with people that are way better than me. Some of them will be worse than me, but that's not who I'm focused on learning from. Sure, they're there. I'm happy to have fun with them, but I'm going to surf with people that are consistently pushing me in the next level. Why? Because Robert Bannister ran a 4-minute mile however many years ago. And it was physically impossible for thousands of years for someone to run a 4-minute mile. It still would be impossible for people that don't know that it was done. Like literally that was the only shift. Someone did it. And then people had the belief that they could do it. And now people in high school have ran a 4-minute mile. There's lots of people that ran a 4-minute mile now. Like you actually wouldn't, it'd be cool on social media maybe, but no one would really be that impressed because you still wouldn't be the fastest runner in the world. So it'd be like, you couldn't even earn money if you ran a 4-minute mile now. And it once was a world record and once was impossible thousands of years before that. So when I look at it, it's like, if you are trying to be successful and your barometer of what success is just your current environment. So I was lucky. Like I was born in San Diego. I'm on the West Coast. I was able to go to LA. I was able to be around people that were worth 9 figures, et cetera. But if you're growing up in a city, I had a worker at my house that was a contractor, and he reminded me of a client of mine that was making, he was like 26, just got married and was making like 50K a month. And this was my client. This guy who was a contractor at my house was just like him. And he wasn't making anywhere near that. But I guarantee you, they both have the same desire. This guy was fit, level of like their want for success. They were the same guy. But one was introduced to a way that was far superior, right? One grew up in a city in here in Texas, and he looked at everyone who was successful and was like, if I want to be successful, I got to be a contractor. because that was what was available. That was the examples of success. This other kid got out of his environment, got around people that were making far more money than that in new ways that had maybe greater potential, and went out there and crushed it at a very young age. I'm like, there's no difference in the person, just a difference in the environment, the opportunities and the people they're around, the education they have available to them, the people that they're around, the belief that they have, what they're seeing as possible. Just like you see this in California, you go to every gym. I don't even look like I work out in California gyms. You go to Gold's Gym in California, et cetera. Everyone's fit. I worked out in Pennsylvania and like no one looked fit. Like just because the average of what fitness looked like, there's people there that were acting like they were the hot shots in Pennsylvania. And I was like, bro, you wouldn't even like be able to, they wouldn't even give you a machine in California at a fit gym. But it's just like, what is the pond that you're in? And it's very easy to go be a big fish in a small pond, but will that help you reach your potential? Often not. Cause if you can perform better in this other environment. So I'm always looking at, I just invested $35,000 in a new mastermind. My first meeting's in mid-August. Why? Because the average person in there has a $10 million plus dollar business and some more. One of the members of it's Ed Milet, like who's like, you know, high nine figures. And so I look at that environment and I go, great. This is another place for me to get into an environment that can push me to really unleash the potential that's already on the inside of me that I would have never been pushed to unleash if I stayed in a comfortable environment. And everyone's going to want to do the same thing.
I know for a fact, when we were part of the Genius Network, it was every day challenge, every day, every week, every meeting. And it just continued to push us forward. And I know you felt the same thing. What is the environment that you're setting for your company?
Yeah, that's, see, for us, like inside of the Billion Dollar Brotherhood, one of the biggest things that we've done is we've created the identity of the elite level businessman and the three-dimensional businessman. So with that, we have people that literally invest $20,000 with us to work with our company and will thank us and literally shift before they ever come to an event because they so see the identity. And of course, the environment helps, the people help, they get reached out to, they all do calls together, et cetera. But we have people that shift in such a mighty way just from saying like, this is who I am now. I just had a dinner in California where I had a kind of like a honoring mastermind dinner for guys that have been in our mastermind for years. And one of them was in my first year and second year of Elite, which I'm on year like five or six now, like going on year six. So this very beginner guy, and this guy was like dating a girl, but still going to clubs, full-time in the military, had a side business, et cetera. And once he invested, like he had this massive growth, right? He like got married to his girlfriend and I ended up being in his wedding. Now as a daughter and like seeing their environment and their family grow and then having them come to this dinner and have them years later be like, both of them like set the tone for the dinner on how that culture and environment shifted their entire life and the fruit that they're producing in their life now because of the identity that he put on that then bled into their family and the entire way they do life now. And so not only are we doing it with the people, like the logical side, everyone wants to be healthy. Everyone has great relationships and families. And also everyone there is wanting to build a business and the businesses have continued to grow over the years as our members have stayed and grow their businesses. And as my influence has changed as well, we've gotten more bigger businesses inside of our community. Outside of that, it's the identity of the three-dimensional businessman that gets us to shift the way that everyone is doing life. So I don't have to hold people to this huge accountability thing. They hold themselves accountable because of the identity that they've become when they invest in the program. So before they even show up to an event, that investment is like Russell Brunson explained it to me once. He said that he once bought a bike because he wanted to be like a cyclist on the street and he never used it. And it wasn't until he went all in and he bought like all the best gear, helmet, glasses, spandex, butt pads, shoes, clip-ins, water bottles, et cetera, meal plans, supplements, right? He had the electrolyte drinks and like all these things. And like that investment is what gave, and when he put that all on, gave him this identity of like, I am this person. This is why people, if you watch The Sandlot back in the day, he puts on PF flyers and he can run faster. People wear Jordans and they think they can play basketball better. It's this feeling of putting on this identity of this is who I am. and you feel like you perform at a whole nother level because you're putting on this identity of someone you're connected to. And so they put on this identity and they start performing and acting different and ultimately getting different results inside their life. And that's what we've created inside of the Brotherhood.
That's so good. Well, hey, what are you excited about now and just moving forward? I know there's a lot of projects that you're always working on, and just share with us how, you know, you've seen some progression. Of course, you've seen a lot of progression within your business, but also you personally. So what are you most excited about moving forward?
Yeah, these are tiered. So right now I'm super excited about spending time with my son. He's 2.5 and it's just freaking amazing. And the way that my wife and I have invested in our relationship and how we've been continually growing together, this next mastermind we're going to, we're able to go again together, which we haven't done in a long time. So really investing in our relationship and my relationship with my son. We're going literally to a beach today on a Tuesday to invest in our family time. For my fitness side, I just had a blood work consultation. So I'm kind of shifting up a few things. I'm literally drinking a salt drink right here because of my salt levels being low for 6 months in a row. And so doing things to see numbers grow in that area, which is really cool. And finally feeling like that's worth investing in and it'll pay off in the long term, because I don't have anything inherently really wrong with me. So that sometimes can give you this like chronic pain where you're like, well, it's not that bad. And it's like, well, do you want to wait for it to be really bad until you feel good? So that was really, really cool. And inside of the business world, some of the things I'm looking forward to right now is we have our Brotherhood event that we're doing in October, which is in actually not too far from Joe Polish in Arizona. So I'm really looking forward to that. Got a big mansion there to serve the Brotherhood in a greater capacity, to continue to prove our skills of what we do inside of that, transforming men's lives, but also the way we enroll them, the way we reach them, the way we serve them, the way that we get the message out there. And then that's when we created $1 billion sales. And we created the framework of like for coaches, consultants, and service providers, what's been the way that we've been able to build our business when I really struggled with that? I had a great product. I had a great vision. I had a great story. I had great intentions, and I wasn't really able to help anyone because of these few mental roadblocks that I had, a mental roadblock, a skill set roadblock, and a framework roadblock that didn't allow me to be able to reach people and get them to sign up for our programs, to be able to buy our coaching programs, our consulting, our services. It's like, oh, this is so annoying. And so I compiled like everything that I learned, not for myself, through some of my mentors like Jay Abraham and Cole Hatter and Russell Brunson and other mentors out there like Alex Ramosi and great friends of mine like Brandon Poulin and Nick Elliott and all these people that have helped me master one-on-one sales and the scripts and the way to get people enrolled and many things like you've seen at our events that we've consistently filled and filled up our high ticket programs through one presentation and doing that through webinar and doing it through video and doing it through a virtual event. And just seeing it work over and over and over again, I was like, oh, this is really cool. This is something that's really worked for me and I was really, really bad at. How cool would it be if I was able to get those epiphanies for other people that maybe feel like everyone who teaches that stuff was always just really good. They always were very charismatic. They were always like the objection handler and the great on camera and the great speaker. And now I know that I'm pretty fairly good at those things, yet it's not hard for people to see how much I was failing in those things in our business and also see previous footage of me trying to do those things that really wasn't that good. And to be able to learn these things and take those best things and compile it in a way for people to be able to do it. I just had to brag on him, this guy who went through our programs for the first time. He's a dog trainer, but he wanted to go and so that would be on the service side, but he actually wanted to teach other dog training companies how they could open their own facility. And he was giving it all away for free basically because he wasn't able to sell anything. So he's holding these little workshops, helping people locally. And so he went through my 10-week master course that I created for sales one-on-one. And then it transfers over. How can you take the one-on-one and do video and group presentations? And so he had his first call and closed his first $15,000 client, his first call, probably not normal at all, but it's just such a cool testament for him because he had never done it. And he just followed the script and was able to do it in a way that fit for him. And he closed 3 clients in his first week. The first call he closed first, but then the other 3 he closed throughout that week. And that's life transforming, not just for the person who's running the company. That's cool. But usually the stuff that you're teaching is what's changed your life already anyway. Like it changed his life building a dog training company. This extra money, cool, makes him more rich, but it's not like changing his life. building his dog training company changed his life. Now he's able to help other people do that, which is life transforming for them as well. I know a lot of people out there have that issue. I think it's 80 something percent of coaches don't make more than 2K a month, or maybe it's 67. So we'll call it 67%. And I'm like, oh, just that in itself is not fun, because a lot of them have something good to say. I know I did. I had something good. I just didn't know really how to get it out there and how to sell it. And so because of that, I had a carpet clean, which means I had less time to be able to go out there and sell it, which is super annoying. So we're doing that right now through our BDS master course and $1 billion sales, which people can check out on Instagram, the $1 billion sales page. It's pretty cool. We're doing some fun stuff, and we have a lot of free stuff as well. I actually have a full script if people want it. That's 100% free. It's literally me walking them through the entire script on one-on-one selling, and then a few tie down questions that they could ask so they could add to their one-on-one sales. That will literally, it's what JJ did, and it worked for him. So they're happy to, I'm happy to give that away for free as well.
Great. Well, what we'll do is we'll direct, traffic to your website. Is that right?
And then what they could do is Nick, the best website? My name that you introduced, nicholasbarely.com/script. We'll get them at least that free script for free. And also I added that full video training with it as well. And so there's nothing for sale inside of it. Everything is there for everyone. So there's nothing hidden. It's not like get the script and buy the video or something like that. It's full video, an hour of me breaking it down professionally like this with the actual script to walk through yourself so you can fill it in. And that way that it's like, this is what we use in our actual company right now, still to this day, to enroll people inside of BDB. That's, they can actively be used as well for people out there that are in that. Again, not if you're selling a e-commerce book or something like that, this would be helpful, but that's not my expertise. Coaching, consulting, service-based style products, that's the area that this really works for.
All right, this is perfect. Well, we just want to say thank you so much for joining us today on the Founders Odyssey podcast. And if you out there would love to continue to follow what we're going on and also some other great guests that we do have lined up, feel free to subscribe. We're located on YouTube as well as Spotify and thefoundersodyssey.com. Thank you once again, Nick, for joining us today.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it.